You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to episode number 4. Of the TIFO Talks podcast. That's right, a podcast mini-series in which John McKenzie talks to whoever he wants. Who are you doing this week, John?
Well, I'm talking to you right now, Joe.
That is true, but who are you talking to in the bulk of this episode?
In the bulk of this episode, I'm talking to Justin Kraft, who is a Bayern expert from Germany.
Bayern München?
Bayern München, indeed,
oh,
yes.
Very exciting. Bayern Munich for the uninitiated.
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you talk about?
We talk about basically the Julian Nagelsmann era. We situate it within the context of like the last decade. So we start with Pep Guardiola and talk through some of the managerial decisions they've made. But then we spend a lot of time looking at last season when Julian Nagelsmann played the sort of football we expect elite managers to play, and then focused a little bit more on this season where he started playing a very different play style.
Mm. And when did you record it versus when does it go out? Is there a gap? Because I know Bayern beat... who did they beat over the weekend?
It
was Freiburg. It was your team, wasn't it? Yes. They beat them 5-0, was it?
It was 5-0.
Yeah, and you recorded this before that happened.
Yeah, we
recorded. So if you're sounding extra bullish during the episode, it's because your team hadn't been bested so badly by that point.
That's right, yeah. We recorded this episode after the Leverkusen win. They beat Leverkusen, a very good side, 4-0 as well. So
as opposed to Freiburg, a very bad side.
No, just trying to situate Freiburg amongst the very good sides in Germany that lose to Bayern Munich.
Okay, yeah. Well, a couple of big wins on the bounce, and we've recorded this episode. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I always enjoy talking about Bayern Munich.
What should listeners look out for specifically?
In the recording? Yeah. Or in Bayern?
Is there a special moment that you enjoyed the most? Well, without further ado, let's turn things over to Justin.
Welcome to TIFO Talks, a podcast on the TIFO Football Podcast Network. I'm John McKenzie and I'm joined today by Justin Kraft. Justin, thank you for coming on.
Nice to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Justin is a freelance journalist from Germany covering both the men's and women's game. His focus is on FC Bayern and the Bundesliga as a whole, and he writes for SPOX and Goal, amongst other places. He also has a podcast about FC Bayern at miasanroth.de. So obviously we're going to spend the majority of our time talking about Bayern Munich over the last couple of seasons, particularly the Julian Nagelsmann era. But I would like to situate the discussion in the broader context of Bayern Munich over the last decade or so. And that decade is a nice period to look at because that is the period over which Bayern have won every edition of the Bundesliga. So Justin, let's begin with who else than Pep Guardiola, because Guardiola's three seasons at the club feel like the benchmark when it comes to Bayern's future performance over that time. So to what extent would you say that Guardiola formed the club's expectations, especially with respect to the tactical aspects of the game?
I don't think that Pep Guardiola was the beginning of an evolution, but he was for sure the one who brought Bayern to the highest level within their tactical development. Louis van Gaal was the coach, I think, who changed Bayern completely. He implemented a new style of play, a new philosophy, some would say the first strategical philosophy ever at Bayern. And Guardiola understood it perfectly to develop himself, the team, and the philosophy as a whole, nearly to the maximum. I think on the semi-finals against Atletico Madrid in 2016, they were awesome. Bayern lost and didn't reach the final, but it's hard to understand why it came that way. It was the best football I ever saw from a Bayern team. It was amazing to see how Bayern tore apart the best defense in the world with something like, I think, 50 or 60 shots in two matches. They didn't score enough, that's true. That's why they lost. But from a tactical view, it was nearly perfect football. Amazing. I was a bit sad that for Guardiola that he didn't reach the final because I was sure that this is going to be his season, Bayern season, with all the superficial criticism around him. He would have deserved that, I think. But that's football.
I'm actually interested in how the fans look back on that period, because I guess it must be hard for a club to recover from having a coach as good as Pep Guardiola. So do you think the fans look back at that period with a level of dissatisfaction because they're always hearkening back to those times, and whenever it isn't as good as it was under Pep Guardiola, there is that level of displeasure because they can't be at that point again?
I don't think so. Regarding to the Champions League, it's a bit sad that he didn't got that cup. But the time was amazing. It was great football. It was really, really amazing to watch the team in the development. I think every year Guardiola adapted something to reach the best form. And in 2016, I really had the feeling that it will work out, that Bayern will win the treble again. As I said, they didn't score enough goals against Atletico Madrid, but those matches were amazing. And I think many Bayern fans watch back to that with a very good feeling, because that football was just attractive and also very successful.
Interestingly enough, from that period onwards, there is a slew of managers who you might not think of as being particularly theoretical or tactical managers. So we're thinking managers like Carlo Ancelotti, we have Willy Sanyol there for a little while, Jupp Heynckes comes back, Niko Kovac doesn't have a particularly inspiring period at the club. So why do you think that the club went back to these sorts of coaches after having had the high priest of the theoretical tactical managers in Pep Guardiola?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Guardiola demands a lot of his players. So physical, but especially on a mental level, he's obsessed. I mean that in the most positive way. Many people are pointing that out in a positive way, rightly so. But I can imagine that not everyone, and especially not every player, is in love with that type of coach. Just look at Ibrahimovic at Barcelona. I could also imagine Frank Ribery not being happy with the coach that is trying to teach him in such an intense way. And according to my information, Bayern felt it was time to sign a coach who would challenge the players a little bit less. It worked in a positive way after Van Gaal with Heynckes, but it didn't work out with Ancelotti. In my opinion, the difference between the positive, obsessed Guardiola and the more relaxed style of the Italian was too big. So the individual and also the tactical level of the players and the team was dropping very fast, and that's why Ancelotti lost the dressing room in the end. So yeah, maybe the difference was the big reason.
This brings us to Hansi Flick, who I think is the first manager who moves Bayern back to that more tactical, theoretical footing. Hansi Flick is the assistant manager under Niko Kovac, and when Niko Kovac has moved on, Hansi Flick is brought in. Do you think this was luck on the part of Bayern, or do you think it was a stroke of genius?
Yeah, I don't think that it was just luck, but also a clever and foresighted decision by Bayern in the summer. Yes, they won two titles under Kovac, but they knew that it wasn't the tactical development they wished for. So the loss against Liverpool showed that Bayern was far away from the best European clubs. So they decided to hire Flick in the summer as an assistant coach because they couldn't sack Kovac after two titles. In a good scenario, Kovac would step up his coaching game with Flick as an assistant. In a not so good scenario, they still had Flick as an option to take over. Yeah, the last one happened and the rest is history. Flick was a perfect coach for a difficult time, I think. To be honest, I don't think that he would have been successful over many years, but his fearless style was spectacular and the best that Bayern could happen in times of COVID, I think.
So this brings us to the present day and the Julian Nagelsmann era. Julian Nagelsmann is obviously quite a prominent coach in Germany at the point that he comes to Bayern, having worked at Hoffenheim and RB Leipzig. I'm interested in what your opinion of Julian Nagelsmann was at that point at which he joined Bayern.
Yeah, my first thought was that it maybe is even the best for Bayern to get that young coach who already showed what he can do at Leipzig and Hoffenheim. Nagelsmann has the abilities to develop a team over years. I don't know if Flick could have adapted to the things that didn't work out in his second season at Bayern, especially in defense. There was no real development. At first, I thought that Nagelsmann is the best possible successor for Flick, and I still think that despite some problems in his first year and also now.
And how did you feel about bringing in a coach who, regardless of his reputation, and his reputation was obviously high, but he was a coach who had been brought through the Red Bull finishing school. And I think that's very different to the sorts of coaches that you might have expected at Bayern. We've already talked about those two very different classes of coaches, the tactical theoretical coaches and then the management oriented coaches. So how did you feel about the Red Bull aspect of Nagelsmann's background, given the controversial elements of the Red Bull approach to football anyway in Germany, but also from the point of view of the tactical approach that you have there as well?
Yeah, it's very interesting. If we think back to Guardiola's Barcelona and Klopp's Borussia Dortmund, then we could see two dominating types of football, possession-based and the so-called gegenpressing football, so counter-pressing the normal one. But would you say that the differences between Klopp and Guardiola today are as big as they were 10 years ago? I think in football, there is always a process of adjustment. Great coaches understand it very well to adapt to the development in international football. For sure, the biggest difference is still there. Guardiola's and Klopp's philosophies didn't change completely, but both took some elements from each other to bring their own game to the next level. And that's why I don't think that it is a general problem that a coach with RB history is taking over at Bayern. Also, it has to be mentioned that Nagelsmann changed the type of football at Leipzig. He was hired by Rangnick for the same reasons I mentioned before. Leipzig wanted to come out of their own box because they realized that they are very good at counterattacks, but not so good at structured possession. So yeah, that's why Nagelsmann came. He changed that in a brilliant way, I think. He also did that at Hoffenheim before. And that's why I think that his tactical approach is fitting well at Bayern.
So let's talk about that first season under Nagelsmann. So a first place finish in the Bundesliga, but there were disappointing early exits from the Pokal and a quarter-final exit in the Champions League against Villarreal. Looking back, what did you make of that season as a whole?
It was for sure disappointing, especially if we look at the promising start of the season where Nagelsmann implemented a new way of attacking very fast, but then he faced many problems. Not every problem of it was his fault, and it is important to point that out. But in the end, especially the last months of the seasons were not good enough. That is clear. Bayern was out of form in the deciding weeks, and that's why they lost to Villarreal. You can lose in the cup to smaller teams. It happens. That's just football. I don't think that Bayern was very bad against Kiel. At a normal day, it would have been enough to beat them, but it was not a normal day. And sometimes you're a bit unlucky. It happens. But in combination with the bad performance against Villarreal and the last months in general, it was a disappointing season for Bayern, I think.
So tactically in that first season, we saw Julian Nagelsmann doing the sorts of things we expected him to do insofar as we had seen him move to a more positional approach when he was at RB Leipzig. So there was elements of positional play. There was attempts to dominate possession and manipulate space. And then there was also elements of counter-pressing to regain possession. So all of the things that you expect an elite manager to do at the highest level of the game at the moment. So what stood out for you in particular about the tactics of that first season?
Yeah, as I said, the start was very good. Bayern attacked more through the middle and the counter-pressing worked very well in that period. He used an interesting 2-3-5 structure with at least one fullback coming into the midfield, and the five players in the front were very, very flexible. The dynamic of this tactical approach was interesting to watch. One of Nagelsmann's principles is as wide as necessary, but not as wide as possible. And that is quite a change change in comparison to the recent years where Bayern was acting very wide with Robben and Ribery for sure as best examples. Also, it was fun to see how this sharped the counter-pressing to be with more players in the center. In the good moments, you could see how it worked out, and especially in the beginning of the season, as I said. But after they lost with 5 goals against Gladbach, Nagelsmann changed some things. He implemented the back three, for example, to have more control in the build-up. On top, I think the positional play was a bit wider after that. Nagelsmann was searching a bit for some good roles, I think, for the key players, for example, Alphonso Davies or Leroy Sané, for example. Also, he had to deal with some injuries and the whole story around Joshua Kimmich, who was against vaccination at first and missed some matches because of that. Bayern lost rhythm and they couldn't regain that after the winter break. Again, they had to deal with many problems. Not all of them are Nagelsmann's fault, like Goretzka and Davies missing and a COVID wave hitting the squad in January. I think if you want to blame Nagelsmann's approach for that, you could say that he tried too many things. So nearly every week he changed the formation or some tactical details. It was hard for the squad to get rhythm. But all in all, he had to change something to bring the squad back in form. Also, the rotation was not easy for him because the squad had not as many options as he has wished for. For example, Davies, if he wasn't available, no one else could play his role. So Nagelsmann had to change the structure to react to that. So maybe I would say that his first season was anywhere between unlucky and his own mistakes.
It's interesting hearing you talking about Nagelsmann changing up the system there, because in preparing for this podcast, I rewatched the Villarreal games, and very much in those games, you see a very classical positional play stuff. So you can see Bayern playing in a 2-3-5 structure, using width as much as possible to stretch the back line and then create weaknesses within the back line to be able to exploit as well. So I'm interested the extent to which you think the disappointment of the season will have been blamed on that particularly positional play style by Nagelsmann.
Yeah, for sure. It could be in the back of his mind. Also, I think he was very self-critical in the summer. He said by himself that he changed too much within the season. So that's what I said about the rhythm. It's hard for a team to get rhythm if things don't work very well and you can't play in one or two systems, but you play in three or four. And if things aren't working very well, it's a problem. And I think Nagelsmann realized that. And this season he's changing a bit less, but we have to see how it works in the future. And if he's changing more then. But all in all, I think he is a very, very self-reflected guy who is able to see his mistakes and to learn out of that. And that's why he is, for sure, a special coach.
And obviously the elephant in the room here is Robert Lewandowski, who is the key player for Bayern that season. Lewandowski moves on at the end of the season. But I suppose the big question is at this point, like, what impact do you think that Lewandowski had on performances in that first season of Nagelsmann at Bayern?
Yeah, a big impact, because he scored the goals. But also, if we talk about the circulation of the ball, Lewandowski had physical and technical abilities that allowed him to hold the ball even under pressure. So that gave Bayern time to move up. Also, it made room for the fast players to go deep. Many things focused on Lewandowski, and that's why Bayern has some problems now to adapt, even if they still have great quality in the squad. Yeah, Lewandowski was one of the main players in the whole club.
We will talk about this a little bit more as the podcast goes on, but I think the big question here is whether or not Bayern are better off without Robert Lewandowski. Now, we need to caveat this question by saying Robert Lewandowski is one of the best centre-forwards in the world and has been up there amongst the best for around a decade. Every team that had Robert Lewandowski would be made worse by not having him in the future. But there is a system question here as well, which is that there are certain aspects of Robert Lewandowski's play which mean that he is quite a one-dimensional player positionally, I think. So bringing in someone like Sadio Mane, who is going to be a little bit more flexible, I think will change things. So just at this point in the podcast, do you think that Bayern have improved in any areas without Lewandowski?
It's hard to say because on the one hand, the results are not good enough, but on the other hand, some things work very well. So I think they are more dynamical. It's hard to say for an opponent who will be the player who comes into a shot position. So it's hard to defend. They are very fast in attack. They are switching positions a little bit more than last season with Lewandowski. And they play through much more spaces than in recent years because with Lewandowski, it's a little bit clear. The ball will come to him. Maybe they don't know when and how, but it's fact that he will be the player who comes into the shot position. And that's gone now. On the one hand, maybe Bayern is missing some goals of him, but for sure they are missing some goals of him. But on the other hand, it's a big chance to be a bit more unpredictable. So I wouldn't say now that they are better, but I would say that they could be better without him in the future.
So let's move on to the present season then. So Lewandowski's gone, Sadio Mane is brought in, and surprisingly enough, we see a completely different tactical approach. So we start seeing Bayern going through the middle a lot more. We start seeing elements of that Red Bull football that we've talked about already. When did you notice that things were different on the field?
Yeah, I think it was already clear before the first match. Already in preseason, you could see that Bayern is going to change their style. You can't substitute Lewandowski with only one player. So, and you also can't do it with Mané. They are completely different players. And even if Mané played as a striker for Liverpool sometimes, it is another situation at Munich. But it hasn't to be a big problem if we look up into the future, as I said. At the moment, it is a process, and you can see that not everything is working very well, but you can also see that the dynamic and the movement up front can be a new way for Bayern to be successful. And Nagelsmann has his ideas, and I really think that they can work out.
One of the interesting things about Bayern this season is that if you look at the underlying numbers from this season compared to the last season, the underlying numbers are actually better this season than they were last season. Obviously, there's a small sample size element here, and that needs to be taken into account. But what I am interested in is, from your point of view as a fan, do you think it's the results that are making people think Bayern are worse than they are? Or do you think there's something more going on there?
For sure. The performances are not that bad as the results could imagine. There are some problems. You talked about the XG. Yes, it's true. They have more XG, but also I think they have not the best shot positions. So they are creating like 22 or 23 shots in the Bundesliga. They lack quality sometimes. So they take many shots out of the box. They try it with positions that are not so good to score a goal. And they have to find more comfortable positions, I think, to score a little bit more. But yeah, you're absolutely right. If you look into the numbers, many things improved. That's true. And as I said, it's a process without Robert Lewandowski, and they have to find solutions to be a bit better in the box. But I'm optimistic that they will find it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's talk about the differences this season from a tactical point of view. So how would you describe Bayern's tactical approach this season?
Yeah, as I said, Lewandowski was important to hold the ball and to give players time to move up. Bayern is missing this quality now. Also, it is obviously that they miss his goal-scoring abilities. And Nagelsmann is trying to compensate it with two dynamic players up front in the last line. More opposing movements, more deep runs, more positional changes, as I mentioned, to get behind the defensive line of the opponents. At first, you would think that Bayern is trying to play faster, but it's only the half-truth. For sure, they try to be fast in the attacking third, but in my opinion, they try to be a bit more calm in the build-up. Let's look at some numbers from FBref and StatsBomb. They have around 68% possession in the league, which is like 3 or 4% more in comparison to the last years. But still, they play only 671 passes per match, which is around 30 or 50 passes less than before. They also have fewer touches, 791 compared to 820 in the season before. So I think they are a bit more calm. But they still manage, as we said, to have around 3 shots more per game. And they also have some more touches in the attacking third and also in the opponent's box. So this is very good and that's very interesting. And it also fits my eye test, to be honest. I think Bayern is a bit more calm with the ball, but without being too slow. In recent years, they sometimes played a bit too directly and a bit too fast, which resulted in some unnecessary losses of possession and counterattacks by the opponents. Now they are searching for more balance, I think, to stabilize the defense. One point I'm not really sure about is the principle I also mentioned, as wide as necessarily, but not as wide as possible. Sometimes I think it would be good if Bayern had more options to switch to the wings. Alfonso Davies, for example, is very good if he can make his runs on the left wing with much space. You can bring him in that situations with a switch of play, for example. But in some situations, he's just not there because he has to cover a space in the middle of the pitch. I understand why he is doing that. Bayern's counter-pressing is much more efficient if they are compact with the ball. But as I said, sometimes it would be better if they could switch to the other side with more speed.
And as a fan, how do you feel about this new approach?
Yeah, I think it's good that Nagelsmann is trying to find more balance between attack and defense. It was necessary to stabilize the team against counterattacks. In recent years, they had Lewandowski, who just scored the goals when they conceded 2 or 3. Now it is harder for them to get back if the plan is not working out as expected. That's why they need more patience. The numbers also outline that Bayern is conceding less dangerous counterattacks this year and less dangerous shots from opponents. It's an interesting development. At the same time, there are some issues. They still have some turnovers that are not explainable, sometimes even without pressure from the opponent. That's not good. Also, the decision-making in offense is not always on point by the players. Let's talk about shot positions, for example. As I said before, they have more shots, but they also have more bad shot positions. Some numbers about that: with 0.11 expected goals per shot, they lose 0.02 expected goals per shot, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but let me try to explain it from another point of view. The average distance of a shot grew from 15.9 yards to 16.9 yards. That is underlying what I said before. Bayern is taking more shots that are not so close to the goal. They still have nearly the same amount of expected goals per game, which is good considering that they lost their best striker. But if you reach that number with more bad shots, then you probably have a higher risk that you can't score enough in some games, not in every game, but for sure in some games, as we saw in the last weeks.
So Sadio Mane, as we've already said, he replaces Robert Lewandowski. You've already mentioned flexibility. So recently in Bayern's games, we've seen Mane actually playing out on the left-hand side, which is something that you couldn't do with Lewandowski, obviously. But you have that ability then to play him as a nine as well if you want. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that aspect of Mane's game. Like, how important do you think his flexibility is to Julian Nagelsmann?
Yeah, I think he needs some time. He needs some time to fit his best way into the squad. That's why Nagelsmann changed his position a little bit. In the first matches, Mané played with Serge Gnabry up front in a dynamic double attack. Now he's back at the left wing. So Nagelsmann's wing is not the same like wings at other teams. But yeah, he's more on the left side to be a bit more in his comfort zone, I think, to get his form. But he's a really great player because his decision making is outstanding. So he rarely makes mistakes. He rarely plays a fault or makes a fault decision. So this is an outstanding quality. Also, he's very good when it comes to scoring goals. He's not as good as Robert Lewandowski, but I think you couldn't expect that. If you look at his seasons at Liverpool, then he always scored like 20, 25, maybe 30 goals if he had a good year. Lewandowski is like 40 or 50, so you can't replace him with one player. I think it's about the whole team and Robert Lewandowski. If you miss a player of this quality, you can't substitute him just with one player, even if Mané is really good. But he has other abilities and another style of play. I mentioned some problems, but it is also just fair to say that even world-class players have to find themselves in a new system and in a new style of attacking. So I think it will take some time till all the changes and all the movements in general will work out. And it is also just fair to give Nagelsmann and his players that time.
We need to talk about Jamal Musiala, who has been absolutely fantastic this season. I wonder whether or not you think that with Musiala being better this season than he was last season in terms of his output, according to the numbers, whether or not that has made the gap to losing Robert Lewandowski smaller than it might have been otherwise.
Amazing. So he's just 19 and already one of the best players, if not the best player in tight spaces. So it's amazing to see how he can react in not even in a second. So just smaller like that. It's incredible how he reacts to pressure, how he is dribbling. So he's a great player, and I think he will be or he will make many matches for Bayern this season, also for the national team at the World Cup, for example, in a big role. And he's also very good at scoring goals, but he also play assists and key passes, and it's amazing to watch him. I'm really curious to see how he develops in the next 1 or 2 years. I really think he can be top level. So he can be one of the 5, 6, 7 best players in the world in the future.
And another interesting player, I think, to talk about is Marcel Sabitzer. Obviously, Marcel Sabitzer is a player who has come through the Red Bull school and has been playing in the double pivot ahead of Leon Goretzka recently, and I think Goretzka has been coming back from injury, but it does seem as though Sabitzer has been making that double pivot position his own. And I wondered whether or not you think that that's important in any way, given that he has that Red Bull background.
Yeah, for sure it was. A little bit luck was in there too for Sabitzer, with Goretzka missing many matches in the beginning of the season, but it worked out very well. So Sabitzer was a great counterpart for Joshua Kimmich, because he played a little bit deeper. He played a little bit more defensive. I think also Manuel Neuer mentioned that after the match against Inter or before of that, that Sabitzer is doing a great job in the defense. So yeah, he gives some stability to the team. As I mentioned before, in the last years, Bayern conceded way too much goals. And it wasn't only the reason that Kimmich and Goretzka are not so good at defending. That's not the case. But sometimes this room in the midfield, the spaces are too open, with them both being very curious to get into offensive actions. And Sabitzer was a bit more calm, was a bit more... Yeah, he stuck a little bit more to this position, and that gave some more stability. So yeah, I think in the future, Goretzka and Kimmich will be the double pivot again, but Sabitzer has a good call now to be in there.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At the time of recording, we've just had a recent run of games that were quite poor for Bayern, so there was three draws and a loss. That was followed by a 4-0 win versus Leverkusen, which might suggest that things are now on the mend. I'm interested in whether or not you think that Nagelsmann is going to stick this new approach out, whether or not you think that it will change again like it did last season.
Yeah, he has to separate the results from the development in general, even if it's hard, very hard to do so at Bayern, where the pressure is very high. That's for sure the biggest difference between now and his time at Leipzig or Hoffenheim. But last season, he was a bit too impatient, as I mentioned, and tried to change things too fast. I think it will be very important to trust the process. And even if they suffer some more bad results in the near future, he has to stick to what he believes is the best way. And if I see how things worked out in the first matches of the season and also against Gladbach or Union, that were great performances, even if they played 1-1, then I believe that he can be successful. But time and patience will be one of many keys.
Now, obviously, in the English media, looking at the Bundesliga from a distance, the big questions that people are asking is whether or not Bayern will continue with Nagelsmann, whether or not there'll be any question of whether or not he might be moved on. So do you think the people in charge at the club will stick with Nagelsmann and accept that there are going to be teething issues to this new approach?
Yeah, that's a way bigger question. At the moment, I can't imagine them to sack Nagelsmann in the next days or weeks, even if he, for example, loses in Dortmund at the weekend. But it's still Bayern Munich, and it's still one of the biggest clubs. Time and patience are always rare at those clubs. For now, I feel that the club is very confident that Nagelsmann is the right guy, but they can't afford much more bad results. Some maybe they can, but much more bad results would be that good for Bayern. In history, Bayern got always impatient with the coach if at least one of two things happened. The first one is obviously the view on the targets they set for a season. If you are 6 or more points behind Dortmund, it could be very tough for you as a coach to stay in charge. The second one is the relationship with the players. Ancelotti and Kovac both lost the dressing room. I don't see that coming at the moment at Bayern, but if the results are not good, it can happen very fast. But at the moment, Bayern doesn't look like a team that has no trust into the process and into the coach.
I think we need to talk about the Champions League, because it feels to me like the Champions League plays a big part in the origin story of the new Bayern Munich under Julian Nagelsmann. I've already talked about that Villarreal game where it felt as though the positional approach didn't really work for Nagelsmann. And I wondered whether or not you think the Champions League performance last season prompted this change.
I think that bad results in the Champions League always have an impact at Bayern Munich. As I explained with Kovac before, yeah, he won the two titles, but Liverpool showed that Bayern is not good enough. So they got Flick as an assistant coach. This year it was a bit different. After the bad performance against Villarreal, they realized that the squad depth is not that good and is not good enough, maybe. So they invested a lot of money into new players, into restructuring the squad. But I don't think that the Champions League had a big influence on the tactical approach. There, I would point out two things even more. At first, the season as a whole, and also the years before, which showed that the defense is not good enough. So there had to be changed some things that maybe resulted in a more balanced style of play in this season. And the second thing is obviously the transfer of Lewandowski. Bayern had to adapt and had to change things, as we pointed out before.
So cards on the table, do you think this new approach that Nagelsmann has adopted makes Bayern more competitive in the Champions League?
Yeah, we have to be a bit honest that the Barca match was a bit lucky for Bayern. So in the first half, Barca could easily score 2 or 3 goals. Lewandowski didn't score them, luckily for Bayern. I really can't predict that at the moment, to be honest. All I can say is that I think that it could make them better and could make them more competitive if everything is working out. But at the same time, they lost their best offensive player, and many things depend on how fast they can adapt to the changes we mentioned before. Also, Bayern were very competitive in the last years, to be fair. So last season, it wasn't just about some tactical problems. It also was about players coming from injuries and a bad rhythm at all. Bayern is always one of the teams that can win the Champions League, and they are also this season. So if things work out for Nagelsmann and the team, and if players are fit in the deciding months, I think Bayern will have a good chance to win that cup.
I'm interested to hear actually whether or not you think the fan response would be bad if Bayern won the Champions League but didn't win the Bundesliga.
From a point of view of the fans, I think it would be satisfying to win the Champions League. They wouldn't mind if 1 year the Bundesliga is missing. I don't think I don't know if Oliver Kahn and Salihamidzic and the other Bayern bosses would agree to that. They want to win the Bundesliga at first. Even if they are the dominating team, they always say that this has the highest priority, but fans want to win the Champions League. I think that's where the fans aim at.
So a couple of final questions about the future then. So firstly, how do you think the rest of the season plays out for Bayern from here?
Also very hard to predict, but I'll give it a try. At the moment, I don't think that the so-called crisis is a real one. It is just a normal process after losing an important player. And I think that Bayern and Nagelsmann will find ways to improve the points that we mentioned before. They will win the Bundesliga, which is sadly no big deal if Dortmund and Leipzig are not able to improve in a surprisingly good way. And I also think that they are very motivated to rehabilitate in both cup competitions. I go for Bayern winning both national titles and coming at least into the semifinals in the Champions League. And I think that would then be a pretty good season for them.
And a final question about Julian Nagelsmann's future. What do you think his future at Bayern is? Do you see him being at the club for a number of years now?
I could imagine it very well because, as I said before, he's a very reflected guy. So he's adapting to failures. He is young, yes, but he's also very experienced. Some people forget that. I read very often in the last weeks that he's inexperienced and a young coach. Yeah, but he's a coach like, I don't know, 2008, 2009. He also coached Hoffenheim and Leipzig in a very good way before. It's true that it is a difference to Bayern, to an absolutely top club. And he has to learn some things, but it has nothing to do with his age. So Carlo Ancelotti is much older, but he's learning too, because we all learn our whole life. And I think Nagelsmann is very good at that. He's adapting very fast to failures. And that's why I can imagine that he will be very successful at Bayern. He has the squad. He has good ideas. I hope for him that he will stick to his ideas and that he won't change too much, because he's doing some good things, and I'm optimistic that he will change Bayern and that he will be successful.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on today. I could have talked about Bayern for much longer, but I really appreciate your time and your expertise on this subject. So what's the best way for our listeners to catch what you're putting out contents-wise?
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter, I think. That's where I'm very, very active. So at Justin Kraft. What is this one? In Germany, we call it Unterstrich. I don't know.
Yeah, we say underscore. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that's Justin Kraft _, and that's Kraft with a K.
Yes.
Justin, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you for the invitation.